Matters. Proudly brought to you by Barfoot and Thompson.
On the show today, we're catching up with our two favourite regular guests. We have Hewitt Mortgages and Jamie James Insurance back in the studio. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. I hope you're having a great week as the countdown of the year is just tricking by so fast. It's almost time to start buying those Easter eggs and thinking about Easter. Isn't that just insane? Although my favourite hot cross buns are out, so, you know, good for me, good for me. Absolutely delighted to welcome back to the show our regular guests. I think these two definitely earn frequent flyer points when it comes to Property Matters. They've been with us since the show started. In fact, Tapri, I think you were on our very first show, or one of the first shows that we ever did. So welcome back to Tapri from Hewitt Mortgages, Jamie from Jamie James Insurance. Welcome back, team.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you here, and always appreciate your insights into the world of what's happening in this space. And Tapri, last time we caught up, you know, it was, I think, a little bit before Christmas last year. What sort of changed in the mortgage landscape since then?
Yeah, I think we caught up around about March of last year.
Was it that far?
Something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, almost a year ago, Stephen. So a lot has changed. Interest rates, for one. Now we're looking at interest rates of around 4.5%. So last year it was slightly higher. And also an increase in our first home buyers, which is exciting.
Okay, so talk us through that. How has that interest rate impacted you, and what's it looking like in this landscape for first home buyers?
Yes, well, it's impacted our clients really well, actually, because of the affordability. So now they're able to, you know, borrow funds. The affordability has increased, and they're able to purchase property in Auckland. So it's great. It's a good thing.
And are you seeing this across the country, or very much just some change and shift in Auckland?
Across the board. So across New Zealand, it's been fantastic. So first home buyers own about 30% of that market, which is great.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It's an election year.
Yes.
Do you see any potential risks or impacts from a change of government, or perhaps how investors are reacting to the fact that it is an election year? Do they go hiding for a bit?
Yeah, well, investors tend to sit back a little bit, like just before an election, mm-hmm. right? Because potential capital gains introductions, that they're not sure what's going to happen. But in terms of our first home buyers, we see them just business as usual.
Okay. When it comes to the AI space, and I guess this is a question for both of you, and Jamie, kick it off, you know, how is AI technology, I guess, helping your world, or is it causing issues on how general public are perhaps using AI?
It's a really good question, and, you know, technology is moving incredibly fast. So for us, it's about staying curious and constantly learning. We invest a lot of time in education tools and systems, but really at the heart of what we do, it's about relationships and real conversations. Mm. Technology can support that, but it doesn't replace it. I think that it can certainly help with efficiency, but you still have to be very careful around how you use it, and just fact-checking a lot of things as well. It's almost intelligent at this point. There's a lot of different things that you just need to be careful of.
What about in the mortgage space? Are people using it, say, to get the best rates or to find the best mortgage brokers? Like, how are people using it to find you, perhaps?
Well, we have actually adopted it as a mortgage business to help us with efficiencies. And Jamie's absolutely right. We have to fact check and make sure that what this AI system is delivering is absolutely correct, and customers' information is secure. So there is definitely changes in terms of how customers are finding us. That is through our platforms and social media. Just putting ourselves out there and letting customers know we are here and available.
And as Jamie says, not replacing that human relationship side, which I imagine is a core part of your business, and both of you, your referrals, your word of mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. Face-to-face communication is what I prefer. I prefer to get in front of people. So people might call it old school, but it all depends on the customers that I'm also dealing with. Some just don't have the time to want that face-to-face meeting. Relationships are absolutely important. So, albeit, depends on the type of audience I'm dealing with or customer I'm dealing with as to how they want to interact with us.
Yeah. As business operators yourselves, you know, how are you keeping up with the technology and the ever-changing technology out there? I mean, the big companies, I guess, have the IT department that can be sort of staying on top of it. But your smaller teams, how do you, Jamie, keep on top of technology in the space?
Lots of learning, lots of education. So we are currently working on building an AI clone to integrate with the business and using different platforms. This is for efficiency. It helps with research, reducing time for clients, which is really important. But then also you've got to weigh that up with understanding who your client is. Do they want to have, you know, front-facing? Do they want to catch up at a cafe? You know, and being able to adjust with that. So in the back end, it's fantastic for efficiency, but also keeping those relationships and conversations real is really important. That's the heart of what we do too.
I want an AI clone. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know if that's a good thing or a scary thing to think of, you know, having an AI clone of yourself. Tapri, are you finding in your world, are banks and people you're dealing with to get money, are they keeping up with the technology? Because I imagine what they do trickles down to what you have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Banks, I mean, they've got a huge, platform of customers to deal with, and so they've got to make sure that whatever changes they make, you know, it's in line with regulation. So they're a little bit slow on the uptake, but they are working on, just a lot more technology and working with brokers, making it really easy for us to do business with them so we can make it easier for our customers to come through.
For your customers, I imagine they need to be prepared that AI is now perhaps looking at their documents, their world, etc. So there's no more fudging the numbers because a fabulous Tapri clone is busy checking all that details. Would that be accurate to say?
Yeah, we're very lucky with the system that we've just adopted. The system just scans all the information, makes it really easy for us as mortgage advisors to help our customers and be more efficient in the service that we're delivering. So the answer is, I love it.
Okay, cool. We've seen the OCR drop significantly over the year, but some major banks are now sort of nudging their long-term rates back up. For someone refixing this month, is the one-year and wait strategy still a gold standard, or are we back to seeking the security of a three-year term?
It really depends on the client's situation. So we personalise the rates to the client's financial situation. This is really, really important. Someone might look at a one-year rate, but we need to assess their income and make sure they've got some certainty and stability for their overall financial situation, because we've just come off the back of really high interest rates. They were almost 7%, and that was crippling people. And some were having to sell their properties, so we don't want to go down that route again. So it's really important that our clients, when they come to us, we have a look at their overall strategy and make sure that that is fit for purpose.
How often should someone be looking at their current mortgage? Is this like a health check we should do every year, every 2 years?
Generally, we do annual health checks, but in some cases where customers have fixed longer term, we do review them annually, but if they're fixed really well, like on a low interest rate, then generally we won't, you know, and the interest rates in the current market are higher, then we will just have a look and just ask them if there's any financial changes that could potentially adversely impact them. If there's none, then it's just business as usual.
Okay. Yeah. And with the Reserve Bank easing the loan-to-value ratio restrictions recently, particularly for investors, are you actually seeing the banks loosen the purse strings, or are their internal stress test rates still the biggest hurdle for buyers?
Well, I'm glad you've mentioned that, Stephen, because we've had one of our main banks loosen the purse strings for investors. So they are now allowing up to 85% leveraging. So for property investors, it's 70% for an existing property, so you need a 30% deposit. But now they're saying 15%, which is good, but you do have to meet a specific criteria. So your income has to be, the surplus at the end of the month has to be pretty high.
Okay. With the big banks still being quite conservative, how much activity are you seeing with the non-bank lenders? Is the slightly higher interest rate worth the flexibility for a growing investor?
Yep, definitely. We are conducting more activity in the non-bank space for our developers, for our property flippers, which is really, really good. So when I first started back in 2020, I wouldn't entertain, you know, the non-banks, but it is a solution. It's a short-term solution for a long-term gain. For our, it makes it so much easier for our property investors to just get in and get out and not have to provide, you know, full financial documents, because that can be quite difficult. Also, for our existing homeowners, it's a solution for, you know, those that get into financial strife. Just to give you an example of a customer, they almost lost their house. They came to me almost last minute. I had a look at their situation and I found a solution at a non-bank.
Right.
And so we were able to consolidate the debt. And it's almost been a year, so we're going to, the exit strategy was to refinance her back. Her finances are super clean. She has savings. She had spending money. We helped her with her budget, so it's great. So it's been awesome.
Why is it that the non-bank lenders are more flexible?
Well, they have the funding, and they don't, you know, in terms of regulation, some don't have to comply with the CCCFA because they come under trusts or companies, and therefore they don't have to provide their full financials and show the ability to service. Yeah, so they just need to ensure they've got equity in the properties. So yeah, we can leverage.
Nice. Okay, Jamie, your turn. Over to you. You often talk about protecting financial progress. What do you mean by that,
Warren? Buffett has a really awesome rule when it comes to investing. Rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, see rule number one. And the reason this rule is so important is because, let's say you have $100 and you lose 50%. Now you've got 50. And you gain 50% back. Now you've only got 75. You actually have to double your effort just to get back to where you were before. So, Stephen, I've got a slightly different variation to this. It's rule number one, don't lose progress. And the reason for that is because we've all come from somewhere. Think about 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago, life may have been quite different to where we are today. But how you got to where you are today cost you your time, hard work, blood, sweat, tears, sacrifice, a lot of effort. So where you are today represents years of progress. And we all have somewhere where we want to go. That's goals, dreams, the life we want to create for our families. So a event, an illness, redundancy, a bad season in business can wipe out years of progress. So the point is, rule number one, don't lose progress, and protecting your health and your income is the easiest way to protect your health and your financial well-being.
So when somebody does take on a large mortgage, what financial risks are people often overlooking and they're not thinking about that progress they've made to get to that point?
Most people insure the house, but they don't insure the person that pays for the house. And the reason this is important to understand is because when you buy a house, the banks typically want you to insure it. So that gets done pretty much straight away. But the mortgage itself is paid by one thing, you. Your income. Your income pays the mortgage, supports your family, and funds the life you want to live. So I've seen many situations where people have insured their house, insured their car, insured their TV, And then they experience a change in health, a change in financial circumstances, and that's where things get very messy and stressful. So the point is, insuring your house, it's important, but insuring the person that pays for the house is even more important. Mm. That's your safety net that provides you that security and that confidence to keep moving forward no matter what happens.
So talk me through that. If you're insuring yourself, what does that look like? I mean, are we talking purely income protection insurance? How does it work? When does it kick in and when might it not work?
Good question. That's why it depends on you. So when you meet with a financial advisor, what we typically do is we provide financial mapping so that our clients aren't overinsured. They may not need to have their income covered.
Right.
Or they may not need to have it all covered. It just depends on if something happens, what do you actually need in order to get back on your feet and get back to living life again? So we just cover the gap. That's it.
And how does that kick in? Say if somebody has an accident and is using, say, ACC for some of that, does insurance still top that up? Or is if ACC kicks in, does that void insurance?
Depends on what type of insurance you have. So if we were to jump in my car and go to Auckland Hospital, 5 out of 6 patients there are there because of a non-accident related injury. So most of the time it's an illness. Now, there are different types of income protections that cover you regardless whether ACC pay you or not. And remember, ACC covers accidents only. Mm. Most of the time, it's not that. And it's ACC has a cap minus tax and other offsets, so you don't really know what you're going to get at the end of the day. Whereas when you've got an insurance strategy that's specific to you, you've got that certainty. You know what support you're going to have when you need it.
Cool. After working with professionals and families for many years, what are some of the things about personal insurance that most people don't realise?
Oh, there are many things that people don't realise. Here's the top three. Most parents don't realise that their kids can be covered for free.
Yeah, you've told us that before and it shocked me, yeah.
So it comes in a form of a lump sum of $50,000 per child. So in the event that they're diagnosed with a condition, that's an extra layer of protection and confidence that you can have that support. Number two, most people don't realise that family members can be covered for free. So this is specifically to your parents and your parents-in-law. This is amazing benefits, free benefits for people that may not be able to afford their insurance or are not able to be insured. So again, this is another layer of security for other family members. And then the third one is particularly great for tough times is a premium waiver. So in the event that you get made unemployed or you hit financial difficulty, you can have your premiums waived for 6 months. There's no catch. Mm. You don't pay it back. And the beautiful thing is that you and your family still remain covered.
Wow.
So here's an example. We recently had a client that phoned us. She was really distressed. Her 14-year-old son has recently been diagnosed with a very rare neurological condition. What made it even harder, Stephen, is that the neurologist that delivered this diagnosis didn't know much about the condition because it's so rare. So the family was in a state of shock and massive uncertainty. So what we did is we got the free $50,000 lump sum kids cover paid out to the family, and immediately that took away a lot of financial stress for the family and gave them so many options. And then using the other free benefits, we got them connected to a neurologist in the States.
Wow.
That's helped so many people with this condition. So now they've got the financial support to be able to take their son to the States and get this treatment. And then the third part is, along their journey, they know that if they want to or need to, they can have their premiums waived for 6 months.
Right.
And the rest of the family still remains covered. So the point is, there's a lot of things that people don't realise, but sometimes the value in insurance isn't just the payout. It's the support and it's the options and it's that confidence and security you get when you need it most.
Absolutely. And the fact that you're aware of so much of your client's story there tells me that you get actively involved as a financial advisor to help them through it. So that's another tick of peace of mind when you're going through something pretty tough like this family obviously is, to be able to just ring up Jamie and say help rather than perhaps jump online and wonder, you know, who's there or what technology's going to now tell me the next thing I need to do.
Absolutely. We facilitate all of our clients' claims.
That must make you very happy at the end of the, you know, to see everything you've set up came to use. I guess you're happy sometimes when it's not needed too, because obviously we obviously need insurance at some of the worst moments of our life.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Many households are really feeling the financial pinch and pressure right now. If money is tight, what options do people have? You mentioned the, you know, the payment waiver for 6 months. What else do they have if things are tight?
There are a lot of options. I find sometimes that people can react and the go-to is to cancel insurance. I've done this and I've learnt the hard way. So I often think about this kind of like driving a car. You know, when you're the road is smooth and life is going really good and you're cruising along 100K and you got your seatbelt on, all is well. So I bought my first home in my early 20s and life was good. I was comfortable. I took out insurance and then I cancelled it because I was young and bulletproof. I don't need this. But as with life, life happens and sometimes we can hit a hard road.
Yeah.
This could be inflation, job uncertainty, the cost of living, a tougher economy, changes happening overseas. The last thing you want to do when you hit a rough road is to remove your seatbelt. So for me, something happened overseas, the global financial crisis, it impacted us here. My interest rates jumped 10%. I got made redundant, so I had no income and a massive mortgage on my own. So that was really tough. I almost lost my home. So here's three things that we're helping clients with at the moment. Number one, look for savings elsewhere first. So we've helped many clients save thousands just by go on Power Switch, contact your house and contents provider. Sometimes you don't even have to switch providers. They'll just sharpen the pencil for you. Your broadband, your mobile phones, all of these things can be negotiated. The second thing is a temporary cash flow adjustment. So what this could look like is we've got a lot of clients that are investing 3% each. You've got a couple 3%, 3% into KiwiSaver. They had a rough road, so they can pause KiwiSaver contributions just temporarily.
Right.
And that's 6% cash flow, which is thousands of dollars a year that can help you navigate through that rough road. And then the third one, of course, contact your financial advisor. Contact your insurance strategist. You don't know there may be things in your policy like the premium waiver benefit.
Get your mortgage refinanced. One of those important things. The experts. For someone listening today who wants to feel more confident about their finances, where do you think they should start?
In helping thousands of professionals and families all across New Zealand, from average household incomes through to your high net worth, when you do something for a long time, you see patterns. The biggest thing that I talk to my clients about is when it's guessed, it's stressed. When it's mapped, it's managed. And the reason we find this is because people work incredibly hard, but they don't have a clear picture on where they are or a clear map to where they want to go. And so when things get uncertain, AI comes out, people get uncertain about job security or things happening overseas and you know, changes in governments and things like that, when there's a lack of clarity, that can create a lot of stress. So when we build a financial map for clients, we help them see three things: where you are today, where you want to go, and how to get there. And so with that, people can make better decisions and then they get better results. So the point is, when it's guessed, it's stressed, and when it's mapped, it's managed.
Now, I asked Tapri how often people should, you know, do the health check on the mortgage. What about from an insurance point of view? How often should we be re-looking at our insurances?
Whenever your circumstances change. So we always invite clients each year to review things. Most of the time, people will reach out to us when, hey, Jamie, we've bought another home,
yep,
or we're having another baby, or, hey, there's some whispers at work that there's going to be some restructures. What can I do? So when circumstances change, it's always a really good idea to reach out.
Cool. Tapri, is it easier to get a loan for new builds?
Really depends on the client's financial situation, but it is just like a standard loan. So it's just about conducting a financial assessment on the client, and but there is no difference really in terms of us assessing a client's financial situation for a new build versus an existing property, other than the deposit.
So banks don't look at it and go, okay, there's far less maintenance on a new build, so I'll approve this versus, you know, an old character villa?
Not really, no. Yeah. So it always comes back to a client's financial situation, what their goals and objectives are. Some clients will buy a new build because they can't be bothered with, having to maintain the property, and with new builds, less maintenance, obviously. But with new builds also, sometimes it can be difficult to add value to that particular new build. So townhouses, for example. And then on the other hand, with a villa or character bungalow, there's a lot of maintenance, so a lot of costs. It's cold. You need to do quite a few things, which is going to be very expensive. So it all depends on a customer's goals and objectives, their financial situation, and what they expect to achieve at the end.
And where do apartments or new developments sort of sit in the landscape of mortgages at the moment? We're seeing these, you know, massive high-rises going up with lots of development happening. Can a first-home buyer, for example, purchase in an apartment, or is it better as an investment?
Yeah, again, and I hate to say this all the time, like, it just comes back to a client's financial situation and their goals and objectives. Banks are still financing apartments, no issue at all. But it does come back to what sort of deposit they have. So, they do have an appetite for that.
Do you both work across multiple providers? So you're working across multiple banks, multiple lending agencies. Are you working across multiple insurance? And is it a case of not one size fits all? Do you have to use different providers for different people, or do you have your preferred? Like, how does that work? Start with insurance?
Absolutely. It depends on the client's situation. I'm sure, like, when you get lending, banks like some people with salaries, and they're not so great on people that are business owners or self-employed. So it's similar to insurance. So it just depends on the person's circumstances, what type of insurance strategy they need, and then which insurer is going to be the best fit for them. Ultimately, at the end of the day, our whole focus is you're not to be overinsured. And honestly, like I say to clients, I don't care how much you choose to invest in your insurance protection. Whether that's $100, $1,000, $10,000 a month, it doesn't matter. What matters is that your investment is going to return for you, meaning it's going to be there to support you at claims time. So that comes down to the devil's in the detail. So our team comb through the detail, that fine print, and make sure that you've got policy wordings that are easy to claim on. And then we also talk about, which we've talked about this a couple of times, Stephen, on the show, is having insurance is important, but how you structure it is even more important. So we literally save clients thousands and thousands in keeping money in their pocket and not going to insurance companies by having premium structured in a way that it stays the same. So while the cost of living goes up and everything else goes up, their insurance stays the same, saves them thousands.
Yeah, can I just say something? So when I met Jamie, so she reviewed my insurance. This is our first meeting.
Right.
We were overinsured.
Right.
Right. We were overinsured. So I was paying all this insurance. I obviously don't have expertise in insurance. She did a full financial mapping on myself and my husband, and that was the outcome. And, yeah, so from there, I've just, you know, I refer all of my clients to Jamie because we absolutely trust that, she will get the job done. She does a full assessment, really thorough, and, very happy.
You've jumped to my next question, which was how can you work together? How do you work together and sort of cross-pollinate, I guess? You know, it is that financial mapping to get that next mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when clients come to us and we do the financial mapping, we want to help them keep money in their pocket and not go into the banks. Yeah. So we help them with strategies and then we're like, so we do the introduction and then Tapiti can help them with their lending side of things. Yeah. So she's looks after me and my family's lending as well. She's amazing.
Thank you. Tapiti, the earlier question around using multiple lenders and banks, so it is the same for you as Jamie? You work across sort of every main provider?
Yeah, absolutely. We're accredited to all the main lenders and our non-banks. So, yeah, we've got lots of options for our clients, and if it doesn't fit a main bank criteria, then we will look outside. And of late, we have been working a lot, like I said, in the non-bank space. People want solutions and they want them fast, and they don't have the, I guess some of them haven't, they're self-employed and they haven't got their documents ready, but they do have equity in their properties, so we're able to help them that way. It's really good.
Because when Marco and I bought our home last year, we had like trusts and businesses and all sorts of paperwork for her to do. But Tara came to us and with three options. She said, this bank, and this bank is a great fit for what you guys want to achieve. My recommendation is this one because of XYZ. So it's nice to receive options that are a good fit, but we're not the experts. Yeah. So when she gave us a recommendation, she knew what our situation is. She knows, you know, what our plans are in terms of tying up lending and things like that. So that's why she was able to provide us a recommendation, which is super valuable.
Yeah. Jamie, if somebody's listening today and says, thinking to themselves, I'd love to be going to Tapiti to get a mortgage, but I am in a financial mess. I haven't sorted insurance, like, and they're nervous. Talk me through, what is it like when they first come to visit and have a conversation with you? You know, are they panicked about having to provide all this info? What do you need to kickstart a conversation?
Not a lot, really. Yeah. It's just like, what's on your mind today? Usually people come through because they are stressed and worried, and a lack of clarity creates stress, so we start looping about things. So the financial mapping gives you clarity on where you are and where you want to go. That removes the stress. So it's basic details of household income. We do the household outgoings. What are your plans moving forward? So we can bridge that gap of where you are to where you want to go. We've done it so many times, it's easy for us to help people. But when you're in it yourself, sometimes you just can't see the wood from the trees.
No. And again, if you're on Mr. Google, you could be getting advice from a million different places, but not one central point who's been there, done that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Is it the same for you, Tapiti, if somebody's nervous and thinking, look, we may or may not be able to get this mortgage, and maybe it's a second home, maybe it's their first. Are they better to just put an application in and let you have a look and come back with options?
They're better to contact me and we have an initial discussion about their financial situation. And, and some people, like, they sit on the fence for, you know, 6 months thinking, oh, wondering what if. Just all I say is get in touch with us at Huon Mortgages and we can just do the initial assessment and see where to from there.
And, well, sometimes you give feedback and say, look, come back in 6 months once you've done this, clear this lay-by, clear this card, stop spending here, and give us 6 months clean books? Like, is that the sort of thing we're looking at?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm very straight up about, you know, someone's financial situation and what they should do, because you come to me for some clarity. You want to know exactly what needs to happen in order to meet the bank's criteria. So I'm going to tell you exactly what it looks like. So we paint a picture, we create a strategy for our clients to say, listen, maybe not now. These are the reasons why. If you do this, this and that, you're ready in 6 months. So I actually give them a time frame, and that really motivates them to, you know, to get everything done and come back to us, which is great.
Nice. If we turn to the last part of this interview, chat a little bit about your own companies. You know, what kicked off Jamie James Insurance back in the day?
Whoa.
Take us back.
I didn't go to school and dream about where it was. This came by accident. So the Christchurch earthquakes happened, and I went in to help out for a couple of days at EQC. That's when I heard a lot of stories where people were losing their home. And what I found is that people took out insurance, but they didn't understand what they had taken out.
Right.
And they had a perception that they were covered, but then they found out that they weren't, because there was a lack of understanding. That's when I owned my house as well, and I was like, actually, what am I covered for? So I worked there for a few months, and I like to fix things. There was a lot of red tape happening there, so I went to another insurance company, and then 13 months after that, I created Jamie James Financial and Insurance. I want to help people hands-on without the red tape.
Nice. That's a good byline. Tarpley, for you, what first kicked it off?
Well, I've been investing in property since I was, I bought my first property at 22 years old, and by the time I was 30, we had, my husband and I, 11 properties. So I'm a huge advocate of home ownership, and I believe everyone deserves to own a home if they want to. And so my team and I are here to help anyone who wants to get onto the property ladder and make them see that it absolutely is possible. So I'm really passionate about it. Hence why prior to joining the, to becoming a business owner, a mortgage advisor, I used to help people onto the property ladder without even being a mortgage advisor. Mm. So it was just a given that I become a mortgage advisor and, yeah, be a huge advocate for home ownership.
Brilliant. All right, we've only got a little bit of time left. Jamie, you've got a minute. Tell me your future goals. What are we looking like for the next couple of years?
What are we looking like for the next couple of years? It's really about impact. I find so many people work so hard and can lose that progress so easily. Like, I've been through that myself personally. I've been through that pain, and so I want to help even more professionals and families not go through that pain and suffering. I want to help more professionals to create the life that they want to live and to be able to secure that so that they can move forward with confidence. So a lot of that, yes, so many things are changing. We're always adapting. We're learning about AI, but we're also keeping that beautiful balance of having those conversations and keeping those relationships real.
Okay. Tarpley, next couple of years, what's it looking like for you? What's the goal of the business?
The goal of the business is to obviously embrace more of AI and create more efficiencies for our customers so we can just get things done a hell of a lot faster. We also want to grow our team to at least 12, so we've got more representatives getting out there helping our clients. Just increase home ownership. Now, we help all Kiwis into homes with home ownership with their mortgages. However, we want to increase the Māori and Pacifica home ownership rates in New Zealand, and so that's definitely part of our goal for the next couple of years.
Brilliant. Where can people go to track you down?
HewittMortgages.co.nz.
And Jamie, where can they head for you?
JamieJames.com.
I could talk to these two all night. I've had to I've had to play the music out because we're running out of time. Thank you so much for bringing your beautiful smiley faces and lighting up the studio. Jump on to their websites. We've got everything up this week on ours, so you can track them down, and we'll look forward to catching up with you both again soon.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a fabulous week. Catch you next Monday.